AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter joined us last week. I said we'll have him back with his new article. The Daily Beast has that. The GOP's perfect free market storm just devastated Texas. Of course, Cliff Schechter, you can find him at the Unprecedented Podcast, as well as also Blue Am Strategies, and kind enough to join us today. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is a sad story indeed, and I think this is, you know, it really is kind of it was going to fail, just because whenever you have this kind of unregulated free market that Texas had with their energy, quite literally, it's a recipe for disaster the minute all of a sudden things start becoming to the extremes.
That's correct. You know, and look, I've written a piece about how, you know, it started, a lot of it, not completely, but it started to a large degree with Reagan coming in, you know, and the whole get the government off your back, and, you know, the nine sort of most terrifying words in the English language is, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. And, you know, that was in the 70s, and we had stagflation, and we had Vietnam, and all these things that were kind of discrediting government. And maybe there were some, even that we, you know, there'd been a New Deal coalition for 40 plus years, and the regulatory state at that point, you could argue in some places, small business, maybe some others, had gone even a little bit too far. But what we did is we spent the last 40 years going in the exact opposite direction, deregulating everything. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the results. You know, you've got a couple. I mean, the Texas is obviously right now one of the best examples, because they themselves decided that, you know, they didn't get to secede, as they always talk about, but they decided they would secede from the electricity grid. Right? There's an interconnected Western grid and interconnected Eastern grid. Those are the two. And then there's a Texas one all on its own. And the decision they made is, if they didn't have to sort of transmit energy across state lines, well, as long as it wasn't interstate, they could avoid a lot of federal regulation. And then they could privatize the hell out of things, not weatherize in the way they're supposed to protect, like, their transmission lines and things from the kind of weather that hit. And just sort of, you know, oh, woe is me, we can't do anything. And what you're doing then is you're waiting for a disaster to happen. If it never happens, you get lucky, you get these guys who you seem to care about more than most of your constituents, these, you know, the power guys who get wealthy off of that, you get them really wealthy. But the minute something goes wrong, like this does, you're screwed, and so is everybody. And, you know, we're now talking about 50 plus deaths have been attributed to this. How many people were, you know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, Houston. The city of Houston, the fourth biggest city in the country, at one point half the people did not have running water. They were waiting in lines with buckets to have people splash potable water into them. I mean, we're supposed to be a first world country, I thought, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it the bread lines that made us say that we didn't want to be like the Soviet Union? You know, look how far we've come.
Well, and you bring up an interesting point. I mean, this is, we've gotten, since Reagan, you know, basically 40 years of conservative policy. And to be fair, the Democrats, when we have been in charge, have generally been moderate Democrats who have, you know, been more easy to coalesce around conservative policies than they are to the progressive.
Regulation, certainly.
Exactly.
Which I talked, just to be clear, I did mention that in the piece that, you know, we joined them, especially during the Clinton years. And I worked for Clinton, and I think Clinton did a lot, you know, on his campaigns, and I think he did a lot of good. But on that stuff, you know, in the 90s, we were terrible in joining them in deregulating Wall Street. I mean, we're still seeing what's happening with deregulating telecommunications like we did. I mean, you know, it's allowed Rupert Murdoch and other folks to get a hold of numerous outlets across the country, Sinclair and others. These are things that they used to not be allowed to do, and mm-hmm. we've allowed them to do it.
Well, and you bring up the fact that this power grid has broken Texas over its back, and people are literally scrambling like it's a third world country in the United States of America. Not only this, John Oliver brought up last week, tonight, the meatpacking industry, the meat processing, how poorly the employees are treated in that industry, which is an absolute travesty. The pandemic, we saw the fact that we have a healthcare system that was designed for executive profit margins, not to take care of the American people. And
God, a federal government, I'd add, I don't mean to cut you off, but a federal government that under Donald Trump felt they literally didn't have to take any responsibility.
Exactly.
Because you just leave it to the states. Government, you know, get government off our backs. How did that work during the pandemic for all of us? I mean, we're 4% of the world. If we had 4% of the world's deaths right now, we'd be at just under 100,000 deaths. And instead, we just crossed 500,000. you got to believe a lot of that's because of her attitude towards government the last 40 years.
Well, and then on top of that, how about these, and you and I have talked about this before, these massive food lines. The fact that how many GoFundMe pages do you get hit with every single day of medical expenses? The car has died. I mean, we have gotten to a country now where it's a country almost of people that are so broken, they need handouts. They need, you know, food shelves. They need basically water spigots they can go fill up their buckets with because the conservative America has failed us, and this is where we're at.
Yeah, and I don't want to say specific countries because I don't want to say disrespect for anybody, but, you know, I've traveled in numerous developing countries and stuff that I never thought I would see here that, you know, you saw there, we're seeing here now. And again, Donald Trump was the end result of you know, deregulation is one of the things the Republicans prioritized in the 80s. But, you know, and Trump ends up being the end result of a lot of those things. But again, you know, so he made things even worse because being the end result, he took responsibility for nothing. But still, we've seen this happen in states. We've seen it happen federally. You know, it doesn't mean you regulate every single thing, but I mean, if we want to be a modern, you know, economy, if we want to be a modern international economy in a post-industrial world, and we, you know, Republicans always talk about how great America is, and they do everything seemingly to undermine our greatness, which is sort of incredible. We have to have these regulations. We have to do things the way first world countries do, where we not only can't be great, we can't even be good. We'll be falling apart soon enough. Yeah. And that's where their policies have taken us. And you know, it's only – you brought up the meatpacking industry, I brought up media. But, I mean, look through everything.
Yeah.
You know, the most obvious things recently are the pandemic and the storm in Texas, but you could find a million examples of this.
Prisons, education, for goodness sakes. You know, you get transportation. You go through the entire thing. We've whittled things down so much, and we have so little regulation that, you know, you're at this point. Let's go back to Texas, though. In not only have you had Texas politicians screaming about how, you know, this is on you. If you die, that's because you're weak. This is about survival. And I don't know what they're implying if you're supposed to go kill your neighbors or something. I mean, it's a hard thing to kind of imagine.
We having Hunger Games now?
Exactly.
Running Man, maybe?
But the reality is these people, I mean, one of the things you do not hear from Texas Republicans is we have to help these people. As a matter of fact, what they've done is they are giving a master's class of, gee willikers, isn't this a shame, with zero intent on trying to fix this system which they themselves have created, which has crippled their state.
They've got an 11-year-old boy frozen to death. Mm. I mean, I have an 11-year-old boy. And if that doesn't horrify people as human beings, I mean, you know, then I don't even know how to reach you. I mean, again, I'm not a socialist. I believe in well-regulated capitalism. To me, that's the best system that, you know, parts of Europe and Canada. I mean, to me, that's the best system in the world. And we've been there before. We've been moving further and further away from it to the exact kind of, you know, Hunger Games world that you're talking about. I mean, kids should not be going without health care ever. And by the way, Texas has the highest rate of kids without health care, of people without health care, because they've chosen in every way they're allowed to get away with, deregulate that too. I mean, it's, you know, this is just simple stuff. If you want to call yourself a Christian, it's moral. If you want to be a first-rate country and you want to be, at the top of the heap in an international economy, yeah, well, when all the people that are going that can go and become educated and learn and be part of that workforce that makes us so effective and made us such a powerhouse country for 50, 60 years in the 20th century, if the kids aren't getting that education, they're not getting food, you know, and these kinds of things are happening, what do you think's going to happen eventually? Of course we're going to fall behind. Of course we're looking at places like China and other countries that are developing now the most high-end technology and doing these incredible things, and we're just spectators. Because we're not putting any money into this. We're letting these guys at the top fight to deregulate everything so they can get richer and richer and become plutocrats, essentially.
It is somewhat terrifying to see where this is going. I mean, well, I will ask you this. When you look at Texas, I brought this up last week. Will, you know, Texas has been speculated to go over to the Democrats at some point here. You can go back to the 1930s and Hoover and the Republicans were insisting, oh, this is not that bad if people were selling pencils and apples in the street to try to find anything. And Hoover towns were being built all across America. The reality is this enough? Do you think that this the Republicans have done so much damage to the state that at this point, I mean, I understand West Texas will never change, but will enough right. of the rest of Texas basically say, okay, we've given you a chance. You've destroyed the state. 11-year-olds are freezing to death in this state. We need someone else in here. Will this finally give the Democrats a chance in Texas?
You know, I honestly think all this may, I mean, I hate to say this, but literally all this, whether we become, re-embrace the kind of community that we've been in the past, the way we look at democracy, the public good, we re-regulate industries, and I almost feel like all of it at this point may rely simply on Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. Mm-hmm. Because the truth of the matter is that what we're looking at right now is they are leading, if you're watching this stuff, they're leading assaults in every state that they control, which are a lot of states, when they're gerrymandering on voting rights. They're doing it here in Ohio. They're doing it, but they're doing it especially in Texas, which we got closer in Georgia, where we beat them. They want to make sure that they get to choose their voters as opposed to their voters choosing them. And if we don't pass a National Voting Rights Act that bars all of these kinds of practices, modern day poll taxes and ways of stopping people from voting, then I don't know if they'll pay a price. I know that if we can protect everybody's right to vote, yes, I do think Texas will continue to trend blue, as will Arizona, as will Georgia. And I even think that there are states where if we would undo some of these voter purges. I mean, they purged 100,000 voters off of the rolls in Ohio because they hadn't voted one or two elections in a row. Who knows if they were moving? Who knows if they're going through family strife? I mean, how much does that change totals? We don't even know what we could be winning in some of these states. And so I honestly feel like, it's either getting rid of the filibuster or it's going to them like when the Republicans came to us and threatened us over a number of judges. You may remember back in, 2006 or so, and we're threatening getting rid of the filibuster. Manchin and Sinema have to be convinced to at least do that. Mm-hmm. To go to them and say, look, here's a half dozen pieces of legislation. We're going to pass them, and you're gonna allow them to go through. It's your choice. You can keep the filibuster intact, and have them, and let us vote on these six important things and filibuster other things, or you can lose it all overall. Your choice. And I think, and also actually your state's former senator, Al Franken, I believe is in your newspaper, wrote a really good piece with Norm Ornstein on how the filibuster was changed back in the 70s. So the onus was on us to get, the people that wanted to stop it, to get 60 votes, as opposed to the onus being on them to keep 41 votes there. So they don't even have to be there actually filibustering. At the very least, you have to change what the filibuster is if you're going to keep it. So make them sleep there.
Yeah.
Make it so they have to have 41 people there at all times. See how much they enjoy that. They want to live at the Capitol to block everything? Then fine.
The last point I want to bring up here is that when you go back and look at Texas and this free market system that they created, it's the saddest part is 10 years ago, Texas basically said they had a cold snap. They said, we just need to winterize everything. And, so clearly this was a solvable problem. And yet right now the failure is to the people of Texas. I understand what you're saying about, trying to get these things passed. But the reality is we've got to get to a point where we decide the people in this country actually have value. And that, and that some corporation, some power company in Texas doesn't just sit there and say, well, it's going to be too pricey to winterize our windmills, so we're just not going to do it, and then blame the Green New Deal, which has not been passed.
Which
is the deal. I mean, we have too many corporate executives and politicians who they could care less if people die in this country, and that is, I think, the real big problem.
And we haven't made them pay for it. To get to your point, Matt, without all the other things I said, the key here is, and I made this point in the piece I wrote, which is we have allowed them to run on this abstract, concept of deregulation. It's like what they do, when they repeat their catchphrases, activist judges. And I mean, they get people to sort of react like Pavlov's dogs, in their base, and really a lot of other people who don't really get what it is they're talking about. every time they bring up deregulation, talk about what just happened in Texas. Talk about what happened during the pandemic. People need to understand we need Democrats to counter message. When they see deregulation, you respond with, so you mean letting people die who can't afford $10,000 electricity bills, letting people go, kids go hungry, who can't afford it. You know, letting people, kids, people have no access to schooling while you let these charter schools, these private charter school companies rip everybody off, which is a big scandal when we deregulate education here in Ohio. We need to counter message by sharing personal emotional stories with people and letting people understand exactly that deregulation isn't just a fun word, you know, sounds nice, abstract, doesn't really affect me, it's okay. It kills people. It destroys livelihoods, and it turns us into a developing country. If that's what you want, go with them in the deregulation. That is how we need to respond to it.
Cliff Schechter, once again, we're going to post this article from the Daily Beast, and of course, obviously, the links to Unprecedented and Blue Amp, and of course, we'll spotlight this interview as well. Cliff, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Always my pleasure, buddy. Take care.
Take care. We got to take a break. Come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.